Today on Annenberg Radio News.
So we're hoping for businesses, you know, big businesses to come out and donate what they can. It would really mean a lot to our people and, you know, all the survivors.
Locals personally affected by the deadly tsunamis in Samoa share their stories. Good afternoon and from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, October 1st, 2009. I'm Brittany Knotts. The autopsy reports on Michael Jackson shows the singer would have been in good health if not for the needle marks lining his arms. The Associated Press reports that the coroner found Jackson weighed a normal amount and had a strong heart before his death. He died after receiving a powerful anesthetic from his doctor. The coroner's report also reveals that Jackson had cosmetic tattoos on his scalp, eyebrows, lips, and other areas. The city of Los Angeles wants to make sure all its residents are counted in the 2010 census. Today, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa joined the coalition of Latino leaders and Spanish media to spread the message to the masses. Newly Paul has more. Sorry about that. We'll have that story for you a little bit later. Negotiations between the city and the police union to help curb the city's deficit may wrap up this week. The terms of the deal are still confidential, but officials told City News Service the city could avoid police layoffs and furloughs. The funding issue is scheduled to be publicly discussed at a joint public safety and budget finance meeting on Monday. The fight against pollution around Southern California ports is going better than expected. Sydney Champion reports on the success of the Clean Trucks program.
The Clean Trucks program was started last year to reduce emissions from diesel trucks. The National Resources Defense Council eliminated more than 2,000 polluting trucks and added 5,500 clean trucks. Officials say these cleaner trucks will help save hundreds of lives by lowering the concentration of pollutants in the air. The program plans to reduce diesel emissions by 80% next year, which would be 2 years ahead of schedule. Sydney Champion, Annenberg Radio News.
And now back to that census story. Newly Paul has more.
The last census in 2000 undercounted Latinos in LA by about 1 million people. The city lost more than $200 million in state and federal funds as a result. The mayor hopes to change that next year. And to make sure, he is backing a coalition calling itself Ya Es Hora, Hagase Contar, or It's Time, Make Yourself Count. Cardinal Roger Mahoney is also part of the coalition. He says by accurately counting the numbers, the city will benefit greatly.
Latinos in the United States alone could see up to an additional $100 million in funding for their communities if the 2010 census can produce an accurate count.
Some organizations have called for Latinos to boycott the census because they are frustrated with President Obama's failure to deliver a comprehensive immigration reform plan. They say, before you count us, legalize us. But Mayor Villaraigosa says that's not a good argument.
For a community that's been silenced for too long, it makes no sense to silence ourselves. Any call to boycott the census is counterproductive and damaging.
The coalition has a lot of work to do. Fears about confidential personal information leaking from the Census Bureau still haunts the community. With the census just 6 months away, the coalition will need all its resources to get its message through. This is Newly Paul for Annenberg Radio News.
The governor has asked Attorney General Jerry Brown to investigate the community organizing group ACORN. Several of their California employees were caught on camera advising a human trafficking pimp how to start a brothel. The pimp and his prostitute were really conservative activists in disguise. Brown says he will look into the incident and the circumstances under which the video was taken. There's a new exhibit at the California Science Center that takes on the topic of race. It opens up Saturday and will be there until the end of the year. Heather Hope got to take an early look at the exhibit titled Race, Are We So Different?
Race has been a major topic in the media lately, and now there's an entire exhibit devoted on it at the California Science Center. It looks at the history of race in America and shows how ethnic categories have changed over the years in the U.S. Census. The vice president for exhibits, Diane Perlove, says her goal is that the exhibit will really challenge common assumptions about race.
People experience race every day, and so we feel it's very important for people to have a better understanding of what race is and what race is not.
The exhibit has interactive games where a picture of your own skin color is placed on a map that has swatches of skin colors from people of all various racial backgrounds. It's a graphic depiction to show the diversity of the world. Perlove says that people can look at race from many lenses, science, history, and personal experiences. She says the scientific aspect sticks out the most to her since there's a major misconception about race.
And we see through this exhibit that there is no biological basis for race. Race is a social construct that has changed throughout time. The categories have completely changed in various ways.
She says that since many people are talking about the healthcare debate, the exhibit also talks about how race can greatly affect people's health. Heather Hope, Annenberg Radio News.
A series of earthquakes shook up the Eastern Sierra early this morning, but no damage or injuries were reported. The largest quake had a magnitude of 5.0. It hit just after 3 this morning. It was followed by more than 4 dozen smaller aftershocks. The quakes hit a rural area near Sequoia National Park, about 180 miles northeast of Los Angeles. And now for the weather. Tonight it will be cooling down with lows in the lower 60s. Tomorrow will be another warm, sunny day with highs in the 80s and lows in the upper 50s. This weekend, we'll see partly cloudy skies with highs in the 70s and lows in the 50s. For those of you heading up north for the USC game against Cal this Saturday, it'll be a little chilly. Expect partly cloudy skies with a high of 65 and a low of 52. Later on Annenberg Radio News. After 200 years, Latino media continues to be relevant and thrive in a challenging media industry. Indonesia and 2 South Pacific countries are still trying to recover from deadly earthquakes this week. Indonesia was hit by a strong quake yesterday that killed at least 2,000 people. Samoa and American Samoa also suffered a tsunami. Elena Hosterer reports on how the Samoan community in Carson has come together to help friends and relatives back home.
Pallets of water and canned goods were rolled off trucks today at Samoan Congregational Christian Church of South Los Angeles in Carson. Volunteers were there to collect relief supplies from the public and businesses like Trader Joe's. Connie Kennan came to the church today to bring some donations.
Whatever I can do, you know, just any little bit. Everything helps. I brought lots of clothes, shirts, a couple pants, and men's clothes, you know, for my husband. And so whatever, you know, whatever they need, you know.
There's a sizable Samoan community in Los Angeles, so when the tsunami hit, they didn't waste any time collecting relief supplies. Several dozen volunteers showed up today to help collect and sort the donations. Mackie Maelo is one of the volunteers helping out.
It made me realize a lot about the small things that I complain about. But, you know, as far as being here in America, you know, you have so many opportunities out here and so many gifts and stuff out here. And sometimes we forget and we complain about, you know, little things. And
The full extent of the death toll and damage won't be known for several weeks. But Debbie Milo says the church plans to keep collecting goods around the clock for the entire month of October.
I have heard from our leaders meaning all of our ministers in the community, and they want to see containers leave here by Monday because they're in desperate need now of all this stuff.
There will be a prayer vigil tonight at 6 p.m. at the United Samoan Congregational Christian Church, South Bay, in memory of the tsunami victims. Elena Hostetter, Annenberg Radio News.
Newspapers have been struggling to stay in print, but Spanish-speaking newspapers continue to thrive throughout the United States. Voices for Justice commemorated the Latino media's 200-year history with a film celebrating the role of Latinos in the press. Stephanie Guzman reports.
A packed auditorium applauded in approval of the film Enduring Legacy of the Latino Press in the U.S. The film narrates the history of Latino newspapers, beginning with the first Spanish newspaper in 1808 called El Mississippi.
Manifestism was a racist ideology that said that Northern Europeans were chosen by God.
Today, La Opinión is the leading Spanish language newspaper. Editor Monica Lozano is the granddaughter of the founder of La Opinión. She spoke of her grandfather's mission when he started a daily Spanish newspaper in 1913 in San Antonio, Texas.
He said, "This journalistic project can be summed up in three words. We came to fight. And we came to fight for the rights of Mexicans who find themselves outside of their homeland. And we came to fight that they be treated with dignity and with respect and be recognized for the contributions that they're made. And the way that we fight is by the written word."
Lozano says Latino newspapers continue to grow by serving their specific communities.
I've always said if you keep your core reader, if you keep that at the middle of what you do, and you organize around their needs, you can not only survive, but you can thrive.
Many are thankful of the role Spanish newspapers play in their communities. Wendy Carrillo, a USC journalism graduate student, worked on the project. She grew up in Los Angeles.
Again, when Monica Lozano was talking about this notion that it's a tradition for us to go and get the paper, it's true. I remember that we would go out and every like Sunday we'd go and get La Opinión and we'd read it and my mom would read it and I would read it because it was there. My dad would read it and we'd read stories together.
An exhibit accompanying the film will be on display at the USC Annenberg School of Communication until October 30th. Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
Earlier today, I spoke to Felix Gutierrez, a professor at the Annenberg School for Communication, Nicolas Canelos, a professor of Hispanic Studies at the University of Houston, and Ray Tejas, director of the film Voices for Justice. We discussed the future of Latino media in the United States. Los Angeles is very heavily populated with Latino immigrants. So what have the Spanish language newspapers done for them?
Spanish language media in Los Angeles and around the country play two roles. One is news from the home country, the motherland. It connects you with where you may have some interest, may have come from, where you still have relatives. But they also acquaint you with where you are now. It's basically basic information that a lot of people have who've grown up here or lived here, but that newcomers need. Where do you shop? What stores do you go to? How do things work? And people say they're playing an activist advocacy role. They tend to see Spanish language media as Spanish translations of what they see in English media. And when they see a variation, they say you're taking a more activist advocacy or assertive role, you're not doing what the LA Times would cover that story. Well, it's true. They wouldn't. They're not. And they shouldn't try to be the Spanish version of the LA Times or of NBC.
But I think if you take one idea away from this interview right today, it's that this tradition goes back to 1855 in Los Angeles, and that tradition was not an immigrant tradition. The immigrants were the Anglos that came to California, and those newspapers that were being published throughout the California Territory were to serve the public of Californios and Spanish-speaking people that were here. And that tradition has continued. There's always been a native Mexican-American Latino press in the United States.
Where is Latino media headed?
Well, if you look at where the population is growing, you'll see where the media is going. And it's in Spanish. We had a line last night, be bilingual or be by yourself. this is a part of the world, this is a city, this is an area where not just Spanish but other languages are more prominent, and the media that are growing, that are gaining audiences and that are at least not losing them in print, are the ones that are the ethnic targeted class media.
Last night our speaker, who is the director of La Opinion newspaper, mentioned how all of the media are now being explored by Latinos in both languages. And so the online presence is very dynamic and growing, as well as kind of creating conglomerates and consortiums of newspapers throughout the country that are working together to get into all of the markets. When we're talking about Univision and Telemundo, we're talking about television networks that cover the whole hemisphere. It's not just the United States, you know, and some of it also goes to Europe and goes to other places in the world. This is, you know, this shrinks the English language marketplace, you know, incredibly small when you compare the reach of what's happening here and being emitting from here, from Los Angeles, from Miami, from New York. This is very revolutionary.
One of the things that I'm just kind of amazed at is that nearly 30 years ago, I started out in television working for SIN, Spanish International Network, which is now Univision. At that time, there was no competition. Nobody, I think, imagined how powerful and how great the Spanish language media would become.
That was Felix Gutierrez, professor of journalism at USC's Annenberg School for Communication, Nicolas Canelos, a professor of Hispanic Studies at the University of Houston, and Ray Tejas, a documentary filmmaker from Paradigm Productions. Hundreds of homeless and underprivileged kids from around Los Angeles received a head-to-toe treatment this morning. LaTanya Kirkland has the story.
Hundreds of families camped out overnight in Skid Row. They've been waiting in anticipation at the Fred Jordan Mission's 21st annual back-to-school giveaway.
Like, I feel like that this is a good opportunity because I'm here with my family and they're giving us free stuff and food and all that. And it's just like a family thing to me. I'm just happy to be out here.
That was Tyler Wells. He was one of the kids in line to receive clothing, backpacks, school supplies, and toiletries from 300 volunteers on hand. Foot Locker donated over 4,000 athletic shoes and socks to the cause. Maria Guzman is a struggling mother of three. She says it's tough to afford the essentials for her kids in this economy.
The way the economy is right now, we don't have money to buy shoes sometimes, and now they're helping, so thank you. The truth is, I'm fighting with my children because they ask me for money and I don't have any. I only work one day a week right now.
Tyler Wells finished up his morning with lunch, a fresh haircut, and a dose of gratitude.
So I just want to say thank you to everybody.
LaTanya Kirkland, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Rachel Thomas to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Rachel?
Thanks, Brittany. On ATVN tonight, an Indonesian American is concerned for her friends that may be caught in the disastrous earthquake. She tells ATVN about her homeland on the other side of the Pacific Ocean. Stefan Johnson still can't use his voice, but he's talking to fans. See what he said coming up. And Michael Jackson's autopsy report reveals new details of his health before he died. Watch ATVN on Trojan Vision at 6 or see us on the web at atvn.org.
All right, Rachel, thanks a lot. We'll be sure to check that out. And that about wraps it up for us today at Annenberg Radio News. For all of us here, I'm Brittany Knotts. Have a good night.